Welcome to the Personal Financial Planning Section podcast, delivering insights from experts on tax, retirement, estate, risk management, investment planning, and practice management, designed to help you best serve your clients and take your practice to the next level. I'm your PFP Section host, Sarah Bradley. Be sure to visit us at aicpa.org/PFP and stay tuned at the end of the episode for information on how to access valuable resources. And now over to our guest.
Thank you, Sarah. I'm Paula McMillan, CPA, PFS, CFP, CGMA, a senior financial advisor at Stearns Financial Group in Greensboro, North Carolina. I'm delighted to speak with you about retirement planning. This podcast is part of a four-part series, Retirement Planning for CPA Financial Advisors. And today we'll be exploring the national evolution, shifting plates. Admittedly, we have limited influence over social programs. However, understanding their evolution and current state helps clients plan. It underscores why a passive approach to retirement will likely fail, a great motivator for proactive planning. Be sure to also tune into the other podcasts in the series for fresh perspectives and actionable ideas on how to be successful preparing for and in retirement. Surveying the retirement landscape, research before design, making conversations count, integrative financial planning, and finally, lessons from the ninth hole, what current retirees have to say. So let's get started with our discussion of the national evolution, the shifting plates, by starting with a personal story. Die with your boots on, be productive until you can no longer. That's essentially what my grandfather did. Other family members and myself used to speak of his work ethic with regret. Everyone said Grandpa missed out. Many still feel this way. However, I don't anymore. Retirement is a modern convention. Understanding the evolution of retirement is helpful. It reminds us to broaden our perspectives. It makes us question propaganda. It makes us question ourselves. Retirement must continue to change to be sustainable. We now enjoy increased longevity and medical advances unimaginable in the late 1800s, early 1900s, when national retirement systems were put into place. We hear the rumblings. We know the numbers don't work. Significant changes will have to be made. But why and how might it impact us? What can we do? A brief look at history reminds us that how people define retirement today is very different than what used to be customary. Which is better? You be the judge. However, one thing is for sure. We know that intellectual stimulation and recreation are two very different concepts. They can become confused in retirement. Too much leisure can lead to anxiety, depression, and emptiness. To continue to thrive, we need to use our bodies and minds. We need to be productive. We need purpose, like nature needs water, sunshine, and oxygen. My grandfather lived and passed away before I thought about or even understood the concept of retirement. Now, with a seasoned perspective, as someone who studies and counsels retirees, my view of my grandfather's approach to life has changed. One thing never set right with me. My grandfather never seemed to regret anything. So why were we feeling so sorry for what he missed out on? He approached his work with zest and focus. He had little time or interest in leisure. He defined his own retirement in a way that was meaningful and enjoyable to him. He liked creating. He liked planting. He loved to find and improve a new rental property. He felt great satisfaction and pride in what he was able to produce and achieve over a long, healthy life. You know, I should make the point that while my grandfather did have a career, much of his life was spent working for himself. In his own businesses, he was able to do things his way. Most of us would agree that working because you have to work in a career that is not satisfying and/or for organizations or ideas that are less than inspiring would have likely not produced the same motivation. However, if you could work in a way that was aligned with your purpose and allowed your self-expression, would you give it up to live on a beach, play 18 holes of golf each day, and have drinks every evening with friends? there is a difference between recreation and intellectual stimulation. While retirement as a practice of planning for 2 to 3 decades after work seems like a concept that has always been part of our culture, it has not. Retirement is actually a modern idea. Until the late 19th century, most of the world's workers had the same approach to working as my grandfather, work until you could no more. In 1881, German Chancellor Otto von Bismarck first introduced the idea of retirement and pensions, as opposed to originating from a compassion for the plight of the working class. The idea was derived from a political motivation. Bismarck, known as the Iron Chancellor, wanted to preempt a growing socialist movement in Germany before it became any more powerful. Age 65 was originally selected as the time for retirement to appeal to the German working class and combat the power of the Socialist Party in Germany. Bismarck knew the program would not be very costly at the time, because the German worker rarely reached age 65. And if they did manage to live to age 65, usually they had only a few years beyond that age. Prior to this time, average life expectancy was between 26 and 40 years. Only a small percentage of the population reached an age where physical impairments started interfering with one's ability to work. Once you did, you typically worked or managed a farm or larger estate. Several generations worked and lived together with grandparents, children, and grandchildren, taking care of each other. Now, gradually, Europe, the United States, and other advanced economies adopted the idea of providing financial security for older aged people. Most started around age 65, closely aligned with one's life expectancy. In fact, when the United States passed Social Security into law in 1935, which was over 55 years after it was introduced in Germany, the average life expectancy in America was only 61 years. The policymakers felt that by age 65, a person had done their best work and should let the next generation take over. As life expectancy has increased with wealth, advanced medicine, and medical procedures, retirement that was originally designed to provide for just a few years after one stopped working has stretched out to 20 or 30 years. This has uncomfortably stressed and in many cases broken these social and business pension plans. They're just no longer affordable as originally designed. Defined benefit plans served as guaranteed benefits from the employer to covered employees. These plans were designed to provide part of the employee's salary in retirement. Dependent on the company allocating and managing the funds properly, defined benefit plans were costly and risky for the employer. In 1978, 401k plans, or defined contribution plans, were introduced to supplement defined benefit plans. The defined contribution plan charges workers with deciding whether to participate, their contribution amount, and management of the investment and ultimate distribution of retirement funds. Instead of supplementing the defined benefit plan, defined contribution plans have been phasing out defined benefit plans over time. Employers are saw these defined contribution plans as a way to lower costs and pass the risk of saving to the employee. Therefore, our current retirement system has evolved into a public-private partnership over the past several decades, with the private role taking an increasingly prominent role. The responsibility for retirement readiness has moved to the individual's shoulders, who is many times unprepared. A recent Employee Benefit Research Institute survey concluded that more than half of workers say they would be more productive without so many financial concerns. These findings were corroborated with a recent PwC employee wellness survey that found 57% of employees are stressed out about their finances. Employers are seeing the toll the financial problems are having on employees. 83% of human resource professionals say financial stress in employees is negatively impacting work performance, leading to 86% of companies in a recent Ernst & Young survey offering financial wellness programs. Employers hope such programs will improve employee focus, absenteeism, morale, physical health, and turnover. Ultimately, the problems don't seem to be improving. An International Foundation of Employee Benefits Plans 2018 survey found that more than one in three respondents believe participants face more financial challenges today than compared with 2 years ago, making financial wellness an important ongoing initiative in organizations. Now, recognizing the need to increase retirement and emergency fund savings, the Bipartisan Policy Center launched the Commission on Retirement Security and Personal Savings in 2014 to examine our current national state of retirement. Their goal was to build on current strengths and address weaknesses to boost savings and strengthen retirement security. They found the three-legged stool of retirement security, or Social Security, private savings, and employer-provided pensions is lopsided or broken. These three legs used to amply provide for the individual's retirement income. After working a full career and retiring, a person would ideally begin collecting guaranteed Social Security benefits and an employer pension supplemented by some of whatever retirement savings they were able to accumulate. Unfortunately, it hasn't worked. Most Americans' biggest worry is not having enough money for retirement. This means many middle-class people who have never been poor will be unable to manage their current lifestyle in retirement. Any one of many factors contribute to this fear of going broke. No access to employer-sponsored retirement plan, poor participation, contributing too little, investing too conservatively, withdrawing too much savings before retirement, retiring too early, having too much debt or outliving your savings, unexpected need for costly long-term care, or Social Security and Medicare revisions needed for program sustenance. In 2016, the committee released their findings and recommendations. They focused on six key areas that they saw were most important. One, in the inaccessible workplace retirement plans. Because many Americans are unable to utilize workplace retirement savings plans, policies need to improve access. Two, retirement account leakage. Because insufficient personal savings for short-term needs too often leads individuals to raid their retirement savings, policies need to improve personal savings for short-term needs and preserve retirement savings for old age. Three, outlive savings. To reduce the risk of outliving retirement savings, policies need to facilitate lifetime income options. Four, underutilized home equity. Seeing a failure to build and use home equity to support retirement security, policies need to facilitate the use of home equity for retirement consumption. Limited personal finance knowledge. Due to a lack of basic knowledge about personal finance, policies need to improve financial capability among all Americans. Six, unsustainable Social Security in its current form. With mounting problems with Social Security, including unsustainable finances, an outdated program structure, and failure to provide adequate benefits for some retirees, policies need to strengthen Social Security's finances and modernize the program. Now, only time will tell how successful this 18-person committee of experts will be in moving forward legislation. However, my takeaways from our National Evolution of Retirement Planning is that the majority of Americans must separate the propaganda of working on one's golf game by day and sipping margaritas with friends in the evenings from the data that is before us. It's not everyone's personal right to retire at age 65, 67, or any other random number. It's better to strive for financial independence than a particular date to clock out. Going back to my grandfather's example, and even a time before the concept of retirement existed, would working a little longer be the worst thing? I would submit to you that it could be the best thing that ever happened. You are likely to be in your highest earning years. You're likely to be most respected for your knowledge and experiences. You are likely to have flexibility at home with no little ones with needs. And there's a lot to be said for staying engaged, intellectually, socially, spiritually. What definition of retirement is best? You be the judge. I'm delighted that you joined me for this podcast within the four-part series. In the full series, Retirement Planning for CPA Financial Advisors, I hope you'll also join us for other podcasts in the series, Surveying the Retirement Landscape, Research Before Design, Making Conversations Count, Integrative Financial Planning, and finally, Lessons from the Ninth Hole, What Retirees Have to Say. On behalf of the PFP section, this has been Paula McMillan, CPA, PFS, CFP, CGMA, Senior Advisor at Stearns Financial Group in Greensboro, North Carolina. To continue the conversation, connect with me personally on LinkedIn or via an email at pmcmillan@stearnsfinancial.com. If you enjoyed this podcast, I highly encourage you to visit the PFP website and take a look at the Advisor's Guide to Practical Planning. Stay tuned for Sarah Bradley, who will tell you how to find these valuable resources. Thank you for listening.
And thank you for sharing with our community of listeners. Want more information, resources, tools, and guidance on technical and practice management topics? Visit aicpa.org/PFP and check out the show notes for this episode as well. So if you're not already a member, think about joining the PFP section, which is designed to save you time, help you best serve your clients, and take your financial planning practice to the next level. You'll gain access to a robust selection of high-quality technical and practice management resources like guides, 24/7 access to an online learning library, client communication and education tools, up to 8 hours of free CPE, and more. Don't forget to leave us a review so we can continue bringing valuable and relevant content. And subscribe to our podcast channel so you don't miss an episode. Thanks for listening, and I look forward to next time.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.